Hey, everyone.
Hi.
It's Lara and a man named Edward.
You've never heard me before. I'm in a full recline.
Ed is laying like
I was
Kate Winslet in Titanic.
Today. We got to the bottom of it.
We had to really do, I had to launch an investigation into why Ed was so tired. And so I came, Ed's the only person whose house I will come over to pod, except like high profile people, other high profile people of his nature. And I'm on my way over and I see the text, like, I'm so exhausted. Oh, I'm in the bed. Like, can we pod from the bed? And I was like, sure, whatever. And then I get over here and he's like fragile, like kind of shuffling around, like doing a full fragile vibe.
Fragile bird.
And he's like, oh, I have no idea why I could possibly be like exhausted in this way. And I was like, did you eat today? And then the investigation was over because we realized he hadn't really eaten today.
I'd had some ice cream.
I think I did, but like, I can't remember. And I was like, okay, yeah, so you just need to eat something. I was like, what did you eat today? And you go, I don't know, and then you go, oh, I did have some ice cream. And I was like, oh, then nailed it. So you woke up, had some coffee and ice cream for breakfast, and then nothing else. And then started to get like painfully exhausted around 3:30 p.m., which is prime time for any sort of food-related painful exhaustion.
Full-blown was in bed.
That's when I'm always like, oh, I must have an autoimmune disorder. Like,
I literally was like, what is happening to me? Why? I was like, I'm so tired today. I haven't drank in months. This is not fair. What did I do? Why do I have that? And then you were like, and then I was like, it didn't even occur to me.
Detective Shane like, Hawes just got to the bottom of it.
I need the food to get the strength to hold the mic properly.
I'd like that too, though, when I get so hungry, I forget like what is even happened. Like,
it took me 10 minutes to figure out what I ate.
Yeah, where I'll get hungry and then slowly slip into like a depression. And then I'm like, oh my God, the depression's back. And like, why is it back? Like, I've been taking my meds. I've been working out. Like, everything seems to be going well. And then everything just goes wrong. And like, now I'm so tired. And like, oh my God, my neck hurts. Like, just everything's horrible. Like, this is it. I should probably just like go to bed. And then I'm like, wait, I think I'm just hungry.
My sugar tooth has been biting me in my ass because I've been waking with baked treats, not baking. I've been having like cookies
for breakfast.
I don't know. You know, sometimes I'm at the coffee shop, I'm like, that salted chocolate chip looks kind of good. That'll give me a little fuel, sugar fuel.
Your sugar demon. Your sugar demon is roaring.
In the morning.
Oh, I love.
I need it in the morning, but then I feel crap and I just need to stop it.
My sugar demon has also been going. You know what I had last night?
What?
I had a little Sunday treat.
What?
I had.
You made your own Sunday?
No. I had...
I love the idea of you buying all the toppings and being like, me time.
No, but I did have like a me time, like silly moment where I just decided, I was like, you know what? It's 10 p.m. on a Sunday night and I've earned this little treat for myself.
That is
and,
like, literally the definition of a live, laugh, love poster on your
wall. I truly live, laugh, love, drove to Milk Bar and had their cereal milk ice cream with cookie dough.
You're like, cheat topping. Night.
No, I was like, this is bad. I was like, this is bad, but this is me being bad.
You're like, don't tell anyone. I'm just going to story it. Shh, don't tell. Ah, I'm so crazy. Girl, don't tell. I'm being that town.
No, I'm all. Sunday night. I'm all about 2019 is just like being bad and feeling like silly, but letting it go. And then just being like, oh my God, it's okay. I'm being kind to myself.
I love that. You're getting more basic with age.
I'm getting way more basic. Yeah.
I was like, I'm in sweat.
No, it's like. That is like kind of just what happens, I know. Think.
Long gone are the days where I don't even want to step foot in a vintage store anymore. I'm like, it's dirty. I'm like, it's greasy. I don't know if it fits. It's exhausting trying it on.
See, I still like a vintage moment.
Simon loves it. Yeah. I just get tie-tie, and I just want to get in and get out. Shopping is, I don't like clothes shopping.
No, oh, that's a very dad vibe of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally me sitting on the bench waiting for someone grumpy.
God, that is just the worst vibe.
Yeah, that's why we don't go.
I know, bring but, like, that vibe. I'm remembering just, like, when my dad would take me shopping, and, like, he would just sit there, and I'm like, can we just, like, can a man, like, can men just, like, participate in the shop? Like, what does it take
for, you know,
a
what
man
it is
to
for me?
Enjoy a shop?
A mall? Malls give me headaches.
Oh, my God, I love a mall.
They make me feel, like, ill. Because usually the food is really bad there, and I'll, like, be hungry. Again, it's, like, hunger-related, and then I'll
eat
it.
So it sounds like you haven't, when you go to a mall, you're already really hungry.
Yeah, I feel like I owe
you. You're not setting yourself up.
Well, then I just get really tired at a mall.
Sounds like you maybe
I felt earlier when I was in bed tired.
You
reminded me the feeling that I feel of at a mall, that I feel at a mall. Like, so a headache, tired.
You
like
probably, like, I'm going to go out on a limb and put my detective hat on and say that you probably go to a mall around, like, 4 p.m.
Yeah.
You have only eaten, like, a little tiny bird bite for
breakfast.
It's
annoying.
Crowded. You're now feeling, like, so
like, the
hungry.
Parking garage takes a good 20 minutes.
I'm, like, get in and out in the mall. I don't relate to any of
these. I don't like trying on clothes. That's really, 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 really a main factor for me.
But you can't get down with, like, just other people, like,
no.
Having their mall moment?
Oh, no. Because ultimately, my opinion makes no difference in someone's clothing. Like, they're like, what do you think? And it's like, if I say yes or no, it doesn't change anything that happens.
That's pretty true.
Yeah. So I'm just literally like, there's no point in me even answering this. Just decide and let's go.
If I, if I'm trying on... I also love to take forever in a mall.
Yeah, I
love
hate
to go
that.
Circle around the whole
We
store.
Don't have a lot of mall experience together
no,
for a reason.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
I would never ask you because no. I know it would be a null.
Like, I want to go to a mall and find, like,
mall.
A cute, like, Michelin-starred, like, dumpling place, like Din Tai Fung, and, like,
Din
have
Tai
a moment
Fung.
There.
Is Din Tai...
Don't go there. Change of subject. I can't handle that right now. I'm too fragile. Don't challenge my notions of deliciousness right now.
I'm just gonna say,
or I'm gonna throw back with your color-coded bookshelf.
I was not impressed by Din Tai Fung.
I'm not impressed with your bookshelf.
I know.
Ugh, I feel like malls are a place of vape laws, which is something we want to talk about.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about it because we're still really fascinated by.
I've had an epiphany.
Okay, yeah, you've had an epiphany.
My epiphany is that the world craves vape laws.
Yeah, I've been
98%
nonstop about vape laws ever 99. Since we really, like, spoke to the truth of what they are. And now I'm fascinated to go into, like, Instagram K-holes of vape lawlers and really consume their content. And then and only then has the law become funny to me because it's so vape law that it, like, then becomes law. But
I'm just so baffled by them thinking it's law. And then the 30,000 comments
30,
that they get,
comments.
Like, where it's like, literally people be like, ah, since you left. That reminds me of when we were doing that. And it's like literally them, like, jumping in a tree branch and being like, there's lava.
Yeah, the ground is lava.
Lava challenge.
Vapors. Okay.
I hate that.
Something.
I mean, I get that it's like preteens and we shouldn't be shading preteens.
No,
it's wholesome.
It's not just preteens. Was looking
there are
at.
There adults that love that?
There was an adult vape lawler who has 24 million followers. And I was like, it's
but
like
they might be doing it to the preteens.
I don't know, but it's like, I mean, I think this person has that many followers partly because she's really hot, but it's also because of her vape laws. And I think, and I was like, the combination here is just, like, shocking, but it's like, I've never seen something so null that so many people, 24 million people, that's like all of America essentially thinks it's
hardly
how many people are in America?
Like 340 million.
Oh, okay. Well, that,
Jesus,
that makes
Cascade
me feel,
didn't really make an indent.
They don't have population classes.
It's called geography and just, like, social studies deal.
Well, There's a gap in my high school education where no one told me how many people live everywhere.
24 million isn't even...
California.
No, it's 55 million in California.
Well, you're a geography buff.
I like what I like.
So, a chunk...
A lot of... It's a 24 lot
million
of
is
vape
still
balls.
A lot.
Basically, it's the majority of people in the world are vape lawlers, is what we've all realized.
Yeah, I think so.
It's kind of like, why is Dane Cook so popular? We get it now. Vape laws.
It's vape laws.
And like that teen vape lawlers are
teen
so
vape
wild
lawlers
to me.
Are like kind of cute. I guess like I other, but like you, I forgive that because I'm like teenagers' brains aren't fully formed. So like,
but I also am like, wow, like, teens are so innocent because I feel like everyone was just like a bitch when I was growing up and it was like everyone was like, let's watch Heathers and like smoke, and like now people are like, there's lava beneath your feet, jump. And then, like millions are like, ah!
But okay, woo! The vape lawlers also love to hang out at Target and just like film so much content.
They love a Target. I was just in a Target 2 days ago.
Did you think about filming?
I did. I thought to myself, I wish Laura's here so we could make a vape law segment. And for the amount of time it took me to get my iced tea from the Starbucks, we could have, because it took 30 minutes.
So vape lawlers just love like a grocery store or a Target extended hang.
I feel like it's all like product placement or something. Does Target... I want to see this woman that you're talking about.
I have to cut her name. I'll just do a beep like I did in the
like,
bonus
who was the teen that I sent
okay,
to
her
you?
Name is...
Why can't you say her name?
Because I don't want it to get back to her that I'm like talking shit.
Oh, you don't want it to get back in the same way it's like mine did on the plane?
Yeah. But the community kept
grow
that.
Some vape law balls. How do you how do you spell it? Stand up to vape lawlers for a change.
I mean,
you spineless.
Wait, but like. Like, when is the world going to stand up to vape lawlers? Or is the world just never going to do it?
Ew, it's like, why do people adults acting like children? She's like putting on a dress. Can I just say who is a commercially successful example of a vape law to me?
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to say it.
You have vape law balls. Oh,
she is to me a movie star equivalent of a vape lawler. Like, this nerdy, like, look at this. Oh my God, what are you doing over there? And just sort of be like, well, I guess I'll start an acapella group. And everyone's like, I love her. She's so quirky. She's like a little bit weird. And I like that. I like it a lot. She's honest.
She's a human vape law.
She is vape law making millions. It's she's what I think vape lawers aspire to be.
But I think like, I feel like the way to make millions might be to just vape law 24/7.
Well, I mean, that's what the majority, if we think about it, the majority of comedies are just one giant vape law. Like if you go to a, like a, in the theaters, a vape, like a comedy, it's a vape law.
Oh yeah. It's a set. Huge, but they used to be not vape
no,
laws.
No, it's, we've evolved
we've
as a culture
into
just zero laws anymore. People don't want good smart
people
laws. They
don't want a law.
They want, I think we're going back to like slapstick, like I don't even know what it
but
is,
but even slapstick like Ren and Stimpy was like law, like Rocco's Modern Life was law. Vape laws are like not funny but like supposed to be really.
Vape laws are literally like you take the most basic thought.
Like farting is
no, it's like literally an, like it's
not
like,
even a vape law.
A vape
farting
law is
a law.
Someone waiting in line at Starbucks and then discussing how they already have to take a shit, and they're like people will be like no, relatable.
That's funny to me.
Well, well, you should do it.
I liked that.
She's like, should I already have to shit?
That's not.
I'm
a
gonna
vape
get
law.
A coffee. What is a vape law?
A vape
then?
Law is like standing in line at Starbucks and then. Just like checking your watch, being like, the line is so long. Oh, and then like checking your watch, and it's like when you're stuck in line, and it's like then it's just slow.
And then it's like
it closes
it's
up on the
Jaws music, zooming in on the like coffee, being like, dinner, I need the coffee.
Or it's like closing up on the watch, and it just slows down to each second going.
Yeah, and then the face is like, it's like a hot person being like, "What? No! If I don't get coffee before 9, I die." And then millions of people are like, Sally, do you remember when we did this at the mall? We need our coffee.
But, like, when did the world transition into vape laws being the most important law to everyone?
I feel like it started with YouTube culture.
You think it's YouTube ushered in the era of vape laws? That's
how I can pin it down. It's like when YouTubers became popular and then adults were like, maybe we should just be like YouTubers. And now everyone is.
And now everyone's just trying to vape law.
Yeah. Because there's money in vape lawing. A lot.
So, like, early aughts is like the dawn of the vape law.
I feel like it is.
Y2K, Y2K ended laws as we know it. People think that Y2K had no repercussions. Wrong. Y2K ended laws and launched vape laws.
It truly did. Like, I can't think of a really funny movie in the theater that I've been to since, like, Bridesmaids.
Yeah, Bridesmaids was... Like,
can we actually think of a really funny movie? I can't.
Like a
one that I lolled consistently at.
I really like
just a handful of lols, which is now basically like a B for me. I'm like, wow, I laughed a couple of times. Vape lols have taken over.
But how are we going to end?
Like, I don't know what I would do as an adult with teens now that love vape lols, and you have to be like supportive because it's like wholesome and you're raising them and you're like, I guess if you like this.
But I mean, like, I'm not talking about, like, teens. I don't need to take down a teen. Like, I can let them loll about whatever it is they need to loll about. But I'm talking about, like, holding adults to a higher standard. Because what is, like, the funniest show right now? Did you watch Broad City?
I need to watch the new season. I love. That's one of my favorite shows of all time.
That show is a funny show.
Yeah.
Like, consistently true lols. Not, like, a vape lol.
No.
No.
They make vape law jokes.
Yeah.
About vape lawlers.
I think they're in the know of like vape lawlers versus.
They do vape life jokes, I think.
Yeah.
It's such a good show. Everyone, go watch it. I'm sad it's the last season. A moment of earnesty. I'm fragile.
Oh my God, that's such a good show. You know, everyone, just please go watch it.
Please watch. Honestly,
you know, everyone, if you're listening, right now, please just go watch it.
Just go watch it. You know what? There's no harm, no foul. Just do it. Let me know what you think.
Please. Just.
I feel like, I mean, vape laws have been going on for a long time, though.
We might never win the war against vape laws.
Because if I think about TV in the 90s, a lot of it was a vape law.
Oh, like, yeah.
Caroline in the City.
I never watched that.
So bad. Like, most sitcoms.
Seinfeld was a law.
No, Seinfeld. Of course, Seinfeld was a law.
Friends had law moments.
Doesn't age well for me. That's just me. It's kind of weird to me that I used to watch that show so regularly.
I know.
And I look at it, I'm like, oh.
Now that people like wear their love of Friends as like an identity.
Or like an ironic vibe.
It really turns me off.
I'm tired of the new 90s irony journey that's going on.
It's not new.
I know. It's annoying though. And it's too long. I want to put an end to it.
Is your pizza here?
Maybe. If I don't see anything and I don't hear a knock. But if I see one more flyer for a party in like late 90s, like Geocities, Google Paint font, I don't know what it's called, I'm going to barf because I'm tired of that aesthetic.
Yeah. It's not quirky that aesthetic anymore. Needs to be put to
bed. It's like hipster vibe is done. The pizza's here. Okay, everyone, just take a pause. Check out Broad City. I'll be back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We just had a realization.
While I was eating
pizza. While Ed was eating his pizza.
And you were watching Broad City.
And you guys were watching Broad City.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I really hope that you were watching.
If you didn't, I'm available to chat about it.
Okay. Yeah. You should really check it out.
Guys, just time out. Honestly, just do it. They're really good people behind the scenes.
They're really great. We just had a realization that white people account for, I would say, 95% of the vape lols.
Yeah.
In the comedy community.
I feel like we need like a stand-up comedian here to say whether this epidemic is growing to like the stand-up world.
I think with like, I mean, I don't, I
Or is don't, it just YouTuber Hollywood hell?
I don't know. Like the last stand-up show I went to was a dark, it went beyond, it wasn't vape lol, it was just like a gnoll.
Stand-up, and I'm going to one tonight, is hit or miss. And that's just the way it is.
I love just, that. I just hot wanna, take.
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
I'm filled with hit a lot hit. Of insight like, today.
Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Take it from me. If you go to stand-up, it might be good or it might be bad.
Cool.
So just like go in there knowing that.
Wow.
I've learning got a lot so to much. Today. The pizza truly helped, as you can
did
see.
Did it? It really, it brought and you back I'm to like, life?
Is food now coma you're coming? Tie-tie.
Yeah, you're tie-tie.
Oh, tie-tie.
We, okay, so I have my really intense animal spirit cards, not my medicine. They're my medicine cards, which is like a more intense than like the animal spirit card. So we're going to draw one for vape lols and see what the just journey.
Like vape lol as a concept?
Vape lol, yeah, as just like a or concept.
Community. Or like Anna Kendrick.
Everything.
Okay.
Should we actually draw one for Anna Kendrick?
We should, okay. Honestly, just draw one for Anna Kendrick.
Okay, we'll just draw one for her.
If anyone knows Anna Kendrick and can, like, put her in contact with the pod, I think she'll enjoy this episode.
Please don't.
Well, maybe she'll just teach us
I feel
her
scared.
Ball. No, it's fine.
Okay.
I mean, she's does she vape ball.
She's literally rich.
She's she can so
handle,
rich.
She can handle, like, two people being, like, you know what? Her brand of lols is just simply not for me.
And she's like, I don't care because 98% of the country loves my lols. Can't get enough.
She's like, guess what?
Pitch Perfect
I just signed a new deal for millions of dollars to bring more vape lols to the world. So anyone who truly lols, sorry.
Like, I don't care.
I don't give a
shit. That is literally how she would do it. She'd be like, sorry, with a little smirk.
Sorry.
Sorry. Lars just made a really like oh gross hater face.
I don't like that.
I like that. No, I like that.
You like talking shit. Like
no, I like to describe what I'm seeing
no,
for the readers.
You love to like target someone and then talk a lot of shit about them.
We're not even targeting. Her.
I only like to do that.
We're targeting Vape Lodge as a community. We just happen to establish her as one.
The queen.
Who's the king? There's so many male vape lodgers that I can't even think of one. Because there's too many.
There's way too many.
It's like, I just need to look at whatever movies are out right now, and that will tell me. Wait, there like are no comedies out right now. Like, I'm looking, I don't see anything. Instant Family? That looks like a family movie. What are these movies? Where are the comedies? There's none. The Upside. Just Kevin Hart and Kevin Kline. Two Kevins together.
Not Kevin Kline. Wait,
that's what this picture is.
It's Bryan Cranston.
Wait. Oh my God. This picture really looks like Kevin Kline.
I love also the shank factor of this movie, which is that they're like Bryan Cranston, an able-bodied actor. Like, we're going to cast you. We cannot find a single like disabled actor to play
impossible.
This. So we're just going to like tap into like an able-bodied actor to really bring home and like encapsulate this journey. Bryan, you interested?
There's no comedy. The Mule?
I went to see The Mule over Christmas.
Why do you support Clint Eastwood?
I didn't. My mom paid. And I was like, I knew she'd be down to mule with me. And then it was in the movie theater where the seat just like slowly, you can push the button and it goes like fully horizontal, which immediately means sleepy time for me. And I watched maybe the first 10 minutes of The Mule, then I passed out and I thought I had passed out for just like 5 minutes, but I'd passed out for the entire movie. until about the end.
Is but it I can about tell, muling?
It's about Clint Eastwood muling.
He's muling?
He's muling, like, drugs. He gets into a situation.
Is it an alt-right movie, basically? Because everything he does is basically that.
No, but it's really bad. He's just like, he's a gruff guy who like has no relationship with his family. And then he starts muling and he gets closer to his family, but further away from the law. Muling weirdly brings him closer. But he's so old that it's like uncomfortable to watch because he can't really act. Like you can just tell like he's too old to like be going to a movie set every day.
When are people forced to retire out of acting?
I don't know, but he should be the person that that starts that trend.
I want him away from everything.
Like, it's unsafe for him to be, like, acting. Like, you watch that movie and you're waiting for him to, like, fall over and break his hip accidentally.
I'm trying to find comedies even in...
There's no comedy.
In the iTunes store. I'm trying to find the section called comedy.
There's none. Wait. The last good comedy...
Editor's Choice? No. Wait.
I'm going to say...
Notable indies? That's also not it.
What's also wild is when I'm in Oklahoma, the selection of movies that are out, there's like tons of Christian movies that get released in Oklahoma that like don't get released elsewhere.
Really?
There will be like three or four just totally conservative Christian movies that are...
Wait, there's another movie that's considered a comedy called The Old Man and the Gun.
Oh, yeah. I think I heard that that was good.
Spy Who Dumped Me is no. Oh, this is how bad the comedies are now, is that the popular movies in the top comedies are comedies from 20 years ago. The Wedding Singer in the top 10. That's a good one. It's really good. Ferris Bueller. There's so few comedies that are good that people have to go back to all the old classics. Why don't people make a comedy anymore? Ugh. Wait, The Big Sick? That's not that funny.
Yeah, that
mean
I wouldn't.
Mean Girls.
I wouldn't classify The Big Sick as a comedy.
I don't know why it's on the top. It's on the top
because
comedy.
Because there are no comedies. There's none. Don't. I feel like
Deadpool is an annoying type of comedy to me.
Have you ever seen it?
Yes.
Oh, I never saw it, but I heard
it's
it was
like
good.
Nerdy. Like it's like that. What's that annoying guy from that Kevin? What's another Kevin?
The Ryan Reynolds?
No, the comic store guy that's so annoying. Ugh, him and
Kevin
skinny
Nealon.
Tall, skinny boy and Kevin comic guy. What the fuck is this? He makes all those annoying movies.
Skinny boy.
Yeah, and... there's like a skinny dude that's like the old school version of his comedy. Kevin, he's like, it's like alt comedy. It's annoying. Please come for me.
Oh, why don't you just look at it?
I don't know how to find it.
It says right there.
No, I'm not looking
Deadpool,
at it.
Deadpool,
right.
You can click no, on it. It'll say
I was
who's
saying
in it.
Like that type of
oh,
comedy.
Oh, Kevin Smith?
Yes, Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith?
Like no
Jay and Silent Bob?
What?
Is it, who's skinny guy?
He used to have a comedy bit with like another like
Jay and
skinny
Silent
guy.
Bob.
Yeah, that.
They're lollers.
Not to me.
Mallrats is funny.
It's all right.
Oh my God, no. Mallrats is hilarious. I used to always think Jay was so hot.
Is he the quiet
was
one?
On the hot list for sure.
Shia LaBeouf is the hottest right now.
Yeah.
Whoever's dating FKA Twigs is the hottest man in the world.
Yeah, but Shia's always been the hottest. She not just always. Dates the hottest fucking guys.
I mean, Robert Pattinson is...
Robert Pattinson's hot until we discovered him in that outfit, and then he lost a lot of hot points.
Weren't you at that party with me where I was cornered into talking about lacrosse with him?
Yeah.
That wasn't. He was an all.
Okay, are we ready?
Yes, please.
I'm going to pull the card. A bear.
Is it a grizzly bear?
Yeah.
This is a read on me.
It's a bear market for lols out there. I'll tell you what.
That was a dad joke.
Bear. Oof.
Uh-oh.
This, okay, so this book always has a poem before we get into it. Bear, invite me into the cave where silence surrounds the answers you gave. Bear, introspection. The strength of bear medicine is in the power of introspection. It lies on the west, on the great medicine wheel of life. Bear seeks honey or the sweetness of truth within the hollow of an old tree. In the winter, when the Ice Queen reigns and the face of death is upon the earth, Bear enters the womb cave to hibernate, to digest the year's experience.
Literally, so I'm envisioning Anna Kendrick doing this.
This means, so far I'm interpreting this to mean that lols have gone into hibernation. It is said that our goals reside in the West also. To accomplish the goals and dreams that we carry, the art of introspection is necessary. Maybe that's what we're
all
doing.
To look inside and find the true lols.
The true lols, yeah.
Which you can't find.
Because lols are asleep for the winter, aka the last 20 years. To become like Bear and enter the safety of the womb cave, we must attune ourselves to the energies of the Eternal Mother and receive nourishment from the placenta of the Great Void.
Oh, God.
The Great Void is the place where all solutions and answers live in harmony with the questions that fill our realities. If we choose to believe that there are many questions to life, we must also believe that the answers to these questions reside within us. Now, this is saying we have to make our own laws. Each and every being has the capacity to quiet the mind, enter the silence, and know. Many tribes have called this space of inner knowing the Dream Lodge, where the death of the illusion and physical reality overlays the expansiveness of eternity. It is in the Dream Lodge that our ancestors sit in council and advise us regarding alternative pathways that can lead us to our goals.
What is the Dream Lodge? Dreamworks?
This is the power of Bear. The female receptive energy that for centuries has allowed visionaries, mystics, and shamans to prophesy is contained in this very special Bear energy. In India, the cave symbolizes the cave of Brahma. Brahma's cave is considered to be the pineal gland that sits in the center of the four lobes of the brain. If one were to imagine an overview of the head, the top of it would be a circle. The south would be the forehead, the north the back of the skull, the west would be the right brain, and the east the left brain. Bear is in the west, the intuitive side in the right brain. To hibernate, Bear travels to the cave, which is at the center of the four lobes where the pineal gland resides. In the cave, Bear seeks answers while he/she is dreaming or hibernating. Bear is then reborn in the spring, like the opening of spring flowers. For eons, all seekers of the dream time and of visions have walked the path of silence, calming the internal chatter, reaching the place and rites of passage, the channel or pineal gland. From the cave of Bear, you find the pathway to the Dream Lodge and the other levels of imagination or consciousness. In choosing Bear, the power of knowledge has invited you to enter the silence and become acquainted with the Dream Lodge so that your goals may become concrete realities. This is the strength of the Bear. So basically it's saying, shut the fuck up. Vape laws are here to stay. Go inside.
I was like, these medicine cards make me sleepy.
I'm more confused than knowing.
My brain turned off after like a minute.
I know. You started looking at your phone.
Well, I was trying to see what the community at Law Squad and Brew Crew wanted to hear us talk about today.
Oh, good.
One of a couple groups that. Wait. So basically, vape laws are here to stay.
So basically, like, just there's like, no deal. Answer to why.
Just deal with
laws
that.
Are that happening. That was like literally journey inside yourself.
It's basically and then, Anna Kendrick being like, deal with it.
Yeah. And cashing another check.
Yeah, and just like throwing the money at
you. It's like
face.
You are just going to have to basically enter the void and then lol on your own.
Outside
and
like, of the womb.
Yeah, and then like embrace silence. So basically the future of lols is a TBD.
It's really
TBD.
The medicine card really
said,
threw the tone of this pod into a darker place.
Yeah, it was like
I thought maybe we were gonna have like a law from that, but it's a dark future.
You thought
we're
there
facing.
Was gonna be resolution,
just some next. Sort of like, well, at least we can put that away and check it off the checklist of things to stress about.
No.
But it looks like we have a lot. If you aren't watching Broad City, you should be stressing about laws. And
I mean,
you need to
that,
talk to your community.
That's the only law available.
Do you know what? Just like we have to keep each other accountable for like doing things that aren't cool and like saying things that are a no-no, we need to keep each other accountable for vape laws.
Yeah.
So like if you're with someone and you hear them doing a vape law, just kindly pat them on the back and be like, listen, like it's 2019, like that's a vape law, please stop.
Yeah.
And just be like,
okay.
Just be like, everyone needs to take accountability for their vape laws. We all make them sometimes and that's okay. But we also need to like, it's our responsibility as lawlers to tune in other people to laws.
Yeah.
And to tell vape lawlers that they're being vape lawlers in a kind, loving, supportive way.
Yeah.
And in a non-judgmental way. And to be like, listen, like, why don't you try out this law instead? Like, yeah. It's like, just try that.
I love that kind of feedback because it's like...
I'm trying to give a hope to the card.
Yeah, negative feedback, like just being like, hate this, is not helpful. No. You need to also provide like...
It's our duty as like citizens of the globe that care about issues and laws. We need to constantly be on the lookout for things that are not okay, whether they be social causes or terminology, language... Or vape laws.
Yeah.
We need to take all of those things on and 24/7 police them.
Take a stand.
We need to police.
Yeah.
Get in a goddamn car, buy something at Target with a law siren, and just go around and turn it on, swerving off the side of the road when you see a vape law. Like someone spilling an ice cream cone, be like, bah! And then be like, gap! Or like you see someone jumping to avoid the lava.
You have to take just matters like, into your own hands, the vape law.
You got to. We can't just sit back anymore.
No, you have to make a citizen's arrest.
We have to. I would pay money to see you do a citizen's arrest for a vape law.
On a vape law?
Who does a citizen's arrest? Are they actually real?
Yeah.
How do you actually get, like, do you have to carry cuffs?
I don't know.
Or do you have to get a mob started? Like, I don't get how you enforce it.
I think you just have to, like, arrest someone.
How?
I mean, I think you just have to pin, if you can manage to pin their arms behind
them.
And
they're just be like, this is citizen's arrest. And they're going to be like, oh, okay, sorry, my bad.
I don't know. I think if you're strong enough to pin their arms behind them as though you're cuffing them, you've successfully made a citizen's arrest.
Okay, so you have just witnessed an insane vape law from a stranger in front of you. At the coffee shop, to bring it full circle, Starbucks.
Or wait, what if I...
What are you going to do if you see a YouTuber adult, not child? You're not going to harass a child.
No, only committing, 18 and above.
Committing a vape law for the sake to spread to eyeballs out there that are going to be influenced by their vape law. How do you make your citizen's arrest? Go.
You say, excuse me, can I talk to... Can I speak with you for one moment?
Okay, I'll be the vape baller.
Okay.
Okay. You want coffee too?
Actually, that's like...
You want it? That's I know, nice. I need it so bad. What's going on? What do you want to ask? Coffee. Go.
Like the laws that you've been providing on social media and in the community are against everything that laws stand for, and I hereby am going to have to make a citizen's arrest.
What do you mean? I have 48 million viewers.
I think that's when you have to get physical.
Yeah, then what do?
You just have to grab, throw to the ground.
Gotta get a coffee. Gotta get a coffee. Wait, this reminds me of the ultimate vape law.
What?
Can I tangent?
Yeah.
When I was looking for apartments, less than 20 years, it would be like 2001 or two. And I was looking and I was going to a lot of places with like that had like a lot of roommates because people would divide up a loft space with like makeshift walls and like call it like a place for six people. So one place I went to had five roommates. They were all stand-up comedians and they were god awful stand-up comedians and they were sound effects comedian style.
All of them were?
The two that I had like the most contact with work. Like they literally, I walked in and I was like, hi, nice to meet you. And they were like, what do you think of the elevator? So slow. And the other one was like, and they were sweating really badly. And I immediately was like, oh my God, where's the exit? And I was and they were like, do you like nuts? I'm like, awesome. And I couldn't handle it. And then I was like, where's the room? And it was a crawl space.
And then you would have to live
up a ladder. Not only would I have to live with five other vape ballers, early days, the dawn of vape law,
mm-hmm.
that did sound effects humor, which is one of my least favorite types.
Yeah, that's awful.
Like, where it's just everything you do, they're like, oh my God, that's so crazy.
That's up there with like radio DJs, yeah. Like that are like,
which again men. Seems to appeal to like millions and millions of people, yeah. Because they have the prime radio spot.
When White Girl Problems first came out, the book, we had to like do certain like press things, and
with Fat Jew.
No, our publisher had set up. That was like later. We did like a thing with him, but like. Our publisher said, like, set up, like, radio call-ins for us to do. And she was like, you get up. You're going to do this, like, morning show that I guess was, like, out of Chicago with this, like, one radio guy. I don't remember, like, what his name was. But I had to wake up at, like, 6 a.m. and to, like, get on the phone at, like, 6:30 or 7 to, like, call into this radio show and, like, talk about the book. And I hadn't really done that kind of stuff before, so I was, like, a little nervous. But I was also, like, what can you do? Like, you just say, like, what it is, and you, like, try and be, like, kind of charming. And basically, you just need to get out that, like, White Girl Problems is available now. Like, please buy it. Like, it's out today. And I called into this radio show, and it's, like, this guy that's just, like... like, I ate a pancake this morning. Like,
was it like, it's 9:15, time for morning farts.
Yeah, basically.
With, like, Wile E. Coyote and, like, Roadrunner sound effects.
Yeah, and I was like, why would, like, this doesn't sound like a person that would, like, really be down with, like, White Girl Problems type of humor. Like, interesting that I would call into this show, but, like, okay, like, there's no getting off the phone. Like, I have to just
White Girl Problems expose you to the most misogynistic straight men problems of the world.
Yeah, and so I call the show, and he's like, now on the line we have Bush. Shunov, and then he's like, author of White Girl Problems. I've got a white girl problem. My wife won't make me dinner. And it's just like, I was like,
did he say that?
Yeah, he made like a joke about his wife, and I was just like, I already hated it.
And were there people in the background being like,
yeah, like the sound effect? Everyone like laughed to like support
morning him. Ricky and like Farty McZoo.
Yes.
And they then always have a little fluffer in the background who's just like,
yeah. And so they were like all lolling, and he's like just like spouting off like various like misogynistic like white things that he considers to be like white girl problems.
Like when their tits are too saggy.
Yeah, basically. And I was like, he's like, talk through to me to like talk about something. I was like, well, you know, it was based on a Twitter account and like blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Twitter account, like, bleh. And then I was like, okay, well, the book is like out today, so like if you want to buy. And he was like,
who do you think you are? You can't just come here and say what your book is. What
is his law to you?
Yeah. And then he was like, who, what, fuck you, I'm hanging up. And then hung up on me.
He was mad.
He got mad and hung up on me
because
on
you
the
were
air
promoting your book.
Yeah,
which is the point.
It was really
of you
confusing
doing it.
He just hung up on me, and I was like,
shock jock culture seems really intense to me. Like,
it was a shock jock hang up, and then I tried to call back, and then I was just like, why would you
is shock jock like just morning annoying people?
No, I think Howard Stern started shock jock. It was like
it's
shocking
just morning radio,
but now
people.
It's kind of gone into like morning radio bros.
Can you imagine morning radio bros like at like a party, like, or like a convention of all morning radio bros?
I can. I feel like they would love a convention.
They probably
they're the types
would.
Of people that like live for fluorescent like overhead lighting. They feel right at home.
Yeah.
You turn on a fluorescent light and they immediately gather.
They're like, it's time.
They're like, it's time. They're like, I've been up since 5:30. I gotta have my coffee. They're the original vape lollers, yeah, in need of coffee.
And like the craziest thing is it's not like it hasn't been tested. You know, there's people behind it working on it to find out who's getting the most listens.
Yeah.
Those annoying people are just like the radio version of the girls that Amanda, whatever her name is.
The workout girls.
Just like vape lollers on. It's just, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's all around us. About. Yeah. It's exhausting. My body hurts from like even impersonating.
I know.
Those
that was actually, I'm worried that the readers are going to be like, annoyed having to listen to us impersonate it because it was so much. It was like an assault.
I'm nervous that we've talked about vape lols too much in this episode.
Well, you need to make merch with vape lol on it.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to move on. We got to move on.
What are we even going to
do? We can't be stuck in the past.
If there's one thing I know to be true, it's that we absolutely cannot be stuck in the past.
Yeah. It's either going to be good or bad, and you can't be stuck in the past.
One thing I'm certain about comedy is it's very hit or miss. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Don't stay in the past. Move forward.
I'm trying to think, like, what has even been going on with me aside from just the longest month ever filled to the brim with trolls.
I don't even know if I can lol about this month because it's so long, but I do want to know the reader, ask the readers if this is the longest January ever, because I've never noticed a multitude of memes about how long this month feels, and I don't know why it's so universal. Why does everyone feel this way?
I did time other slow down a like little this. Bit.
It feels that way. It I cannot like, believe it's still January.
It feels like every day got like 6 seconds longer, but more. Over time,
6 minutes.
So that it now it's compounded to where we're just like in some long time cycle.
We're in like a vape law vortex.
We're in a full vortex. We're in a vortex that's like the long stretch before like election bullshit starts up again. Ugh. And there's all like rumblings about it. And it's like, it's just like this like void. We are literally in the bear void, in the hibernation cave. Before
out. I don't think February is that much better.
No, February is randomly like so short but still so long.
But what's weird is that we live here and it's sunny, and I don't know why this feels so long. We're not in the middle of a harsh winter.
No,
but it feels like an eternity.
Yeah,
like New Year's feels like another life ago.
Yeah,
like I was a different person on New Year's Eve.
Same.
I feel totally like I've, different.
I feel like I've evolved. Done a lot of personal growth in January.
I love that.
And I've come like a long way just like as a human being. Yeah.
You've moved forward.
I've moved forward.
You're not staying in the past.
I've almost completed dry January, which was a real, there were a lot of tests involved.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was the hardest test?
The hardest test was getting pulled over and then immediately going into a dinner, and I just, all I wanted to do was take a shot. I wanted to like rip a shot of tequila.
I haven't drank for a few months. It's getting easier.
Yeah.
Just chill.
Once you've not drank for like a month, you're kind of like, why even drink?
Yeah. I like think about it and then I'm like, nah. Like, is the hangover worth it?
The hangover or does...
More like the dry mouth.
Yeah. The morning after dry mouth where you're like Ugh. Too tired to get water. So you just like live in a dry mouth, like semi headache like zone. Mouth.
Yeah.
It's like not chill.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I've had some good hikes this month.
You did. You took a beautiful picture on a hike.
I took like the best picture ever. Please.
It was really gorgeous. Like, did you doctor that picture?
No.
It was just a natural.
That's why I said it's the best picture ever taken in the history of photography.
You're a photographer.
I am.
You are.
If anyone wants to hire me because I'm looking for other work, I would love to take a photo of you. I don't travel. You come to me.
Sounding like a good
deal. And my rate is a lot. But I think it's worth it.
How much would you charge to take one good Instagram photo of someone?
Do I have to publish it or is it just for them?
It's, well, we can price it both ways. So like,
I don't know. I can't put a price tag on that.
So like,
it's priceless.
Does someone have to come out and then you guys go on a hike and then you take a photo of them? How much?
And they post
for
the photo?
Them to post, but then if you post
it's
the
like
photo,
$500 for the hang. I'm basically selling my hang. 1,000 actually.
1,000 for the hang. And
I don't know.
And I do it for great photo of.
I would have to put them. I would have to have them have to take a baseball test.
That photo you took was worth 1,000 because if I had been with you and you had captured me in that light, I would have said this is $1,000 photo.
Also, it's like if the person's a lawler, the price goes way down. So it's like, I need to give them a vape law test because if they're like a huge gnoll or they're like someone that talks too much, which I hate, like I just need some silence sometimes. It may not seem that way, but I do.
Oh my God, there's nothing.
And when people are like, oh my God, where are we going right now? Look at this hike. Oh my God, are your legs hurting? Look at this dirt. It's dirt in my shoes. Is this a cactus? I don't know.
Look at this dirt.
There are literally people like that, and you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That vibe is not really, like, sound effects-y. It's just, like, an intense interrogation. It's like you're being questioned by, like, the gnoll police.
Yeah.
They just want to bring you gnolls, being like, oh, my God, you're really sad. Tell me about it. What's happening with that? Why? What are you journaling about it? Oh, my God, are you feeling fat? Oh, that sucks. Tell me why. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Yeah, there
just
is
you're gorgeous.
A special kind of gnoll where someone just gets into your business and like is not really listening to you. Like they're just like speaking at you and like you're like speaking back to them just to be like nice.
And you're just like, oh,
but
yeah,
you're also
totally.
Like, please stop talking to me, please. Like
I've witnessed you be interrogated about your journaling.
Yeah. Like
which is an insane thing to try to come to someone about.
Yeah.
Like looks like you're having something personal.
When someone is doing an activity that looks like just a them activity, I would never bust into it. Like if someone has headphones on.
It's like, looks like you're meditating. Oh my God, I love that.
Oh my God, hey. Oh my God, hey.
Wait, yoga's so new age, but I'm into it.
Are you meditating?
Are you new age? I am too. Shh, I go to Lululemon. Don't tell.
Are you doing yoga right now? Oh my God, I love yoga. Are you, what kind of yoga are you doing? Yeah. Hatha? Or do you do hot yoga ever? Oh my God, I get so
Do you have the Ayurvedic cookbook? It's so good.
Yeah, like, I'm just not an interrupter. There are just, like, people some people live to interrupt and, like, tell, like, ask you about your journey.
And then energy suck. Like, just, like, suck all the energy that you had for the day.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, as if you did what I did, you ate the ice cream and were starving and tired, but you actually, it's as if you went to the gym, ate a nutritious meal. Like you had like a lean chicken protein, like you feeling amazing. And then someone came to you and it suddenly feels like you just ate ice cream for the day.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
They turn you into an exhausted, just like sugar crash zone for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like all it takes is 5 minutes of that energy and I'm dead. I need a nap.
Yeah. That's I can't force like a conversation with 1,000 questions. The only person that gets to ask me 1,000 questions is my mom.
True.
And that's like, and I can barely handle that.
That is what it is. It's just a lot of questions that they really have the patience to listen to the true answers
about. It's just like they're thinking about when they can ask you the next question and not really thinking about like the answers that you're giving or thinking about like the body language that you're giving.
I know.
Or the activity that you were doing before they decided to ask you 40,000 questions.
What I love about that is when you're doing something alone, they ask you a million questions and then they finally get the picture like an hour later and then relay the information to someone else being like, that person's a bitch. And you're like, excuse me, what the? I was so nice. I said, every 5 minutes to you. Do you hate when that gets back? And you're just like, come on.
I have
not
there. I don't think I've had that get back to me.
I had like via, yeah. I
mean, has it gotten back about me to you?
Maybe.
But I'm pretty good now about being like, I'm actually like journaling, so.
I saw that not work.
Yeah, that didn't work.
You tried it with that person.
I tried to be like, yeah, I'm just like doing my morning pages where I journal in silence. I was like, oh my God, tell me more about that. Like, are you actually quiet when you do it? Like, how often do you do it? Do you like
how
like,
quiet are you though? Do you control your breathing?
Do you do like no talking at all when you do it? Or do you like sometimes you take a break?
What happens if you have to cough?
Yeah, and I was like, what?
I can't. I'm exhausted thinking about it again.
Yeah.
I need something that brings us life and love. How long has it been? Is it reader mail time?
It's reader mail time.
Love that.
Let's do some reader mail.
This was sort of like an episode where we talked about nothing a whole time, which I love.
Is that okay?
I like it. Okay. Do the readers like a yes or no? If you hate it, DM me again.
Tell them how much you hate it.
No one did last time.
I know. I haven't had an episode in a long time where I've just talked about nothing.
We just shot the shit and shat the shoot. We did it all.
We literally did the bare minimum of what...
I was in full recline.
You were
in a pizza in the middle.
You laid down.
I'm not getting paid for this, but I did get a great candle from someone. Thank you, Harold. So that really keeps me coming back when I get those. It doesn't take much, just like a quick little like expensive candle journey, and I'm back for more.
Doesn't take much, just an expensive candle, only $60 minimum.
Are you kidding me?
Nothing less than $60.
That's a joke. That's not a candle.
That's just wax.
Yeah.
Literally. We've lolled a lot, so I feel like if we're laughing, then it makes it a good episode.
I
could be, you know what? I've been wrong before.
I know. I hope this is really good. I hope this went over well. We have a scented candle right now, so it's like full circle.
It's a beautiful for full circle moment.
Yeah, it's full circle. Like it's
my
like,
candle stash is getting pretty low. So if anyone wants to jump on the wish list and like,
my wish list is now almost exclusively beef and candles. And they won't change it. That's all I want in life. Premium beef and premium candles.
Okay.
I'm ready for some mail. By the way, my star rating is bad.
Your star rating's terrible.
I'm upset about that. But okay. Not that upset. It's not my thing.
No,
it's
you don't
your
really
thing.
Care.
It's your thing.
It's my thing.
So I'm happy for you that yours is a lot higher than mine. By hundreds of thousands.
I'm in the five. Oh, by hundreds.
Hundreds of thousands.
I'm in five figures. You're
six. I almost hit...
I'm in no, low five figures.
You're at 100, right?
No,
oh, what are you, 50,000?
I was like at 42 or something.
I'm at like 690,000 maybe.
Yeah, you're like...
I'm low.
Yeah. Your star meter...
is real bad.
It's bad.
My star's fading and your has star, been fading for years.
Your star... You know how like stars burn out?
Yeah.
But you don't see them burn out until 7 years later? That's what your IMDb star meter is.
Yeah.
It's been dead.
Yeah.
But now you're just...
Never really shined that bright.
You're just now realizing how dead it truly is.
Shit.
Meanwhile, mine...
Yours is just growing.
Like a fucking supernova taking off.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this episode... and you have IMDb Pro, head on over to that website and just look up my name.
Don't even throw me the search because
no,
it's just like, let my star burn out and die.
It's way too much work now to get Ed up. You really need to be concerned about
just
one
Lara.
Person. Just
if you're going to do anything for me, you might as well just get me a candle. Don't worry about the star. She wants the star reading up. So if you're listening and you want to do something for Lara, she just wants you to look up her name.
I want a star and a wish list item. I want both. I want to have
you
it all.
You can't have both.
Don't tell... You should never go and tell a woman that she can't have it all.
Oh. Okay.
Dear Lara, an esteemed guest, I will admit I'm a new listener, but I believe I've found myself in the middle of not just a babe moment, but a babe journey. Here we go. I've been dating my current BF for a little over a year and a half. For the most part, it's great, but I'll go past saying he's a bit controlling and straight to saying he has a vice grip on my life. Oh my God. I graduated from college in May 2017 and was living at home working locally. Gotta stack that cash while you're rent free. It's important to note that he lived with his parents as well, about an hour and a half away. We started dating in September, and his fam had been planning a trip to Greece for his dad's birthday the next August, which they invited me on, and I sort of agreed. But this was a person I just met, and this trip was a year away, so I felt like, whatever, I can say yes, and if we break up before then, it won't matter, because I don't really plan on going anyway. Fast forward to June 2018. Oh, we're still together, my longest relationship ever, God bless my strength, and he was like, okay, time to book our flights to Greece. Oh, fuck. I'd already used 11 vacation days earlier in the year and was not going to have enough left to go on the trip. I told him that and politely declined, causing him to flip the actual fuck out. Basically, what happened was my people-pleasing self caved like a bridge designed by a civil engineering intern when the first car drove over it. Okay, I know I might sound like a prick because a trip to Greece is amazing, and it truly was, and I'm so grateful, but I had to quit my job to go. Yikes, and also, babe, it gets worse. He offered for me to work for his mom after we got back from the trip, but that meant moving in with him and his fam. Again, babe. So fast forward to now, I've been living and working living with and working for his family for about 4.5 months, but I'm moving to Boston because his mom is expanding her business and I'm supposed to run that location. Totally dope, but thinking about how intertwined my life has become with his family truly gives me a pit in the deepest corners of my stomach. They're super sweet and welcoming, but I don't want to be absolutely fucked if things go south between my BF and I. Did I mention we own a car together now as well? I know, yikes. In an attempt to untangle my financial and living situation from his family, I went on an interview for a job that's totally up my alley. It's what I went to school for, what I'm interested in, right in Boston where I already have an apartment, way more money than his mom is paying me, and an amazing career starter. But I didn't tell them about it because the thought was that if I don't get it, it's not worth ruffling feathers, right?
I love your thoughts.
Well, prepare to turn on the industrial fans in the chicken farm because we're about to ruffle the fuck out of some feathers. I find myself here. I was offered the job and I'm now brewing myself over what to do. The job is what I want, but I'm afraid my BF and his fam are going to freak the fuck out at me if I quit working for his mom. They've employed me and housed me for the past 4.5 months, and I don't want them to resent me for just peacing after they've given me so much, for which I truly am grateful. Anyway, this feels pretty babe to me, and I'm seeking your advice. I'm only 23. I thought this was going to be a fun, flirty, and free in my early 20s. I love my relationship. It's just everything around it that's so babe. Love the podcast and the content you produce. Love and light. Tied down 20-something. You have to take this job.
Yeah, you have
to. You cannot not take this job. That's just, like, simply not an option.
Greece is amazing, though, I will say.
The thing about Greece is it's so amazing. Everyone, you should check it out.
Try it out.
Greece is very chill, and that's amazing that you got to go on that vacay. And also that you were in a position where you could just, like, quit your job and loll off to Greece. Like, congrats. I love that for you. But now this is the real deal, and, like, you are young and could probably get away with, like, not taking this job, but, like, you need to take it.
Yeah. And I also say that I've never seen a family business situation that feels chill to me. I find family businesses to start to get really creepy quickly when it's like the entire family is applied and employed and then everyone's just like part of the biz. I don't know. It creeps me out.
Yeah. I think
I'm nervous for you, and I think you should get out.
Yeah. I think actually, 4.5 months might seem like a long time to you, but it's not that long at all. It's basically nothing. It's not even half a year.
This is January.
Yeah. It's the January of, like, time frames. So you just have to be like, thank you so much. And if honestly, if they're like, fuck you, like, you're going to take your dream job that's perfect for you,
then we hate
you, then they're not cool and you need to break up. And it's giving you just the excuse you need to, like, end it and move on.
Yeah. Are you going to move? Did she say she was going to move into her own apartment?
This is I think so. Or not in an apartment.
Yeah.
This is the opportunity you need. Yeah. And it's a turning point. And you either just, like, remain a family's bitch for life, or what? I have to be harsh because I feel really passionately about this.
You can't just, yeah.
You have to take the opportunities.
Yeah.
If you said no, you're the only person you're hurting is yourself.
Agreed.
Keep us posted on how it goes.
Yeah.
I hope your boyfriend's family does not listen to this podcast because they would for sure know that you wrote this question.
I'm curious if there's any, like, 50-somethings that listen, 60-somethings.
Yeah.
Are there?
Shout out to Monica.
Oh, love.
Who sent me
I'm imagining my mom listening to this. I'm, like, really curious what she would think.
I don't know what your mom would
I
think.
I should play it for her.
Would
her
she strength. Lol?
Well, she probably wouldn't get a lot of it. She'd be like, I don't know. I couldn't understand you.
My mom
for those
would
in
lol.
The bonus episode, they know. Got a lot of comments about the mom.
Oh, yeah. My mom just, if I'm laughing, she laughs.
I love Linda.
Yeah.
Linda's conservative side isn't my favorite, but I love Linda's other sides.
Yeah. The conservative side really baffles me every time I encounter it. I have never understood. Like,
news is fake. Oh, well.
Just like, global warming is not real. That is a... I'm like, so what?
But then, love, just not real. Sorry.
Doesn't trust Al Gore.
I love how everything suddenly fell on whether you had your gut reaction was okay. What's your gut?
What?
That everyone just follows their gut now. It's like just a fact. It's like whether you like it or not, it's just science.
I
love that everyone's like, well, my gut tells me it's not.
The global warming is not a problem. Yeah,
my gut doesn't feel good. My gut feels like it's a lie.
My favorite.
That's what everyone's like. Now, like, I just don't like it.
Babes of the week are the people that are responding to the polar vortex by being like, we could really use some fucking global warming right about now.
Jeez.
And it's like, that's not what global warming is. Not just like a warm day. You fucking idiot.
They are really so fucking dumb.
But like, I don't understand when someone said, like, when someone is presented with like a scientific report,
they're just like no. That's the thing that consistently baffles me, is the lack of, like, where it's just like, facts aren't real. You're just like, sorry, no. You're like, this water is wet, and they're like, no, it's not to me.
But like,
the way I don't like it.
You're like, oh, there dry. Are cities in America that are slowly sinking underwater. Like, and like, the science all points back to like...
Then they say, like, it comes in circles. It's just like the way it is. Circles.
I love that. It's like, I love people that believe like that the earth is like 6,000 years old.
And flat.
Because the Bible said that.
I know. The dinosaurs are a myth.
Or dinosaurs and humans lived at the same time.
Yeah.
We could pet them.
Creationists are wild. I met one recently.
Like, I remember growing up and being told that evolution was not real, and that was like bad to believe that. And then I went to school and they were like, this is biology. Like, this is how everything happened. Like, evolution. And then I was like, so...
When she's like, it's all a lie.
When I'm
class.
Like being tested on it, and then the only way to pass the test is to like tell the right answers, which is what science says, which is the truth. But then someone else is saying,
I like can't imagine just not believing scientists. Like, it doesn't make any sense to
me. Do you think that they're just trying to troll?
No, I think they're just stubborn.
People that not believe in scientists and what they say, like creationists,
I think,
and like
flat earthers are just trolling us.
Well, flat earth, I'm not talking about that. Yeah. Like, that's a whole,
I know,
other,
a whole other thing.
That's a whole other.
I know that at all.
But like,
creationists
and climate change deniers.
The one I talked to recently was so far up his religion's ass that I felt like he was like, I'm sorry. Like, he's like, I see that you don't think that way, but this is what I believe.
I know, but then...
And I was just like, that's not real. I was like, you don't believe in science. It's just,
But I guess this is just a moment where you have to listen to each other and just hear each other.
Listening does nothing. You listen and they're like, well...
But like, the thing is, when you try and argue with like,
I didn't even argue. I just was like, what is this actually?
Well,
how you
feel? I get angry because I'm like, this infuriates me.
I kill them with the calmness and they get annoyed that I'm so calm.
I just get furious. And then it's like, then I turn into like a bad person,
a bad lefty,
Yeah. Because I just can't listen and accept that like
snowflake,
that some people are going to believe that. Like, some people will see a rock and say, like, and a scientist would say, like, that rock is, like, millions of years old, like, according to these tests, like, car, blah, blah, blah. Thank and they you. Would be like, no, there's no way. Sorry.
I love it. Just like, sorry, no.
No, I don't believe that. I don't get that. But then I also believe in, like, psychics and stuff, so.
Seems more plausible to me than denying science, because it's not proven.
Yeah, and there
we have proof.
I believe in energy.
I believe in proof.
And there's science behind that. But are you just supposed? I guess it's like, this is America, so you just let people like do their own thing.
Great summation. This is America, so you like just let people do their own thing.
But that's like America, right? America's all about just like freedom to believe whatever crazy shit you want to.
I mean, so other people can believe it elsewhere too.
In a lot of other countries, you can get like killed for not like believing stuff.
But in like
stuff.
Western Europe, you can be a nutbag. But just like everyone's like, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, everyone's like, okay, you psycho. But in America, you can find
a
large community that can rally behind your beliefs.
A lot of vape lawlers, I bet the overlap is probably big.
Yeah, but like you can just be like, I am not going to believe science, and then everyone just needs to respect that because it's America. And you can just do your
also,
own
also, you
thing.
Can find enough people that also just are like, yeah, I don't want to, no. And they're then, like, then you're like, well, we're neither. Right. Yeah.
It's pretty bullshit, right? And then you're like, yeah.
Just sorry, I don't believe it.
So I guess like at the end of the day, I just am going to respect creationists.
And I don't.
But I don't know. Like,
I have
no
respect for a creationist.
I guess I'm just going to be like, it's wild to me that you don't believe in science. But like, this is America.
But then they do believe in science.
Selective science. What science do they believe in?
You know, it's like they understand that like pregnancy is real.
Yeah. Like medical science.
Yeah, like medical science. And there's tons of science that they're like, I like that, but I don't like this. That's what's so weird. It's basically a gut thing. They're like, I don't like that one. I don't like it.
That one doesn't
my gut
feel
says no to that
right
one.
To me.
Icky.
But like, what is the problem? Like, why are people so pinched about just like trying to save the environment? Why do some people see that as like an affront to their said? They're like, people are like, wow, animals are dying and like whole cities are sinking underwater. Like maybe we should just like help them. And this is like what's happening. And someone's like, how fucking dare you?
Because what they're the most selfish people ever. They're literally just like, fuck it. Fuck it all. No, who cares? All animals die. We all die. Just get the money. Fuck it. We need our guns.
I mean,
I know it is really weird though. It's like seriously, like it's like, why don't we just like help out? Like that polar bear is like really sad.
It's like, hey, guess what? Like we can actually just like make like energy in a different way. So like people could like they don't
consume
have to like
less.
Yeah, they consume less and like it costs about the same and like there we can make jobs for people that are like losing their jobs
and
in
there's
this
people
one
that
industry.
Like out of spider are like I want more plastic. There's like people that are like drill baby drill the oil heads.
Oh yeah,
Sarah Palin drill.
That's super Oklahoma though too.
They love a drill.
They love an oil drill.
They're just like spill it.
They love
spill
like
it quick
crack. And it's caused a lot of earthquakes. Matt Damon made a movie about it.
They don't believe it, though. They're like, that's not what the earthquake's from. Nope. They're like, that's not true. Nope. Next mail. God, this is, we can go forever.
We could go forever. Hi, Lara and Gus. I don't know what is compelling me to write you and confess my babest and truly most embarrassing moment of my entire life, but here goes. It all started when I was 13. I used to go over to my out and proud gay uncle's house almost every weekend because he had a swimming pool. One day while I was changing out of my swimsuit in his bathroom, I decided to rummage through his shit. I ended up finding a stack of Playgirls and other various gay porn magazines. At the time, I was deeply in the closet and I thought I'd found the holy grail. Every time I would go over to my uncle's after that, I would steal a magazine or two when I left. I would hide the goods in my rolled up towel, and then when I got home, I would masturbate furiously while taking in all of the hot, hairy, hard men. It felt deliciously naughty of me, and I loved it. I would hide the magazines in one of those plastic storage tubs in my room. Over time, I probably stole at least 15 magazines. Each time,
uncle doesn't notice.
Each time I would go to my uncle's, he would have more magazines. My sticky fingers couldn't help it. Surely my uncle noticed the disappearing magazines, and to this day, I think he was chill with the fact that I was stealing them. One day, as I was looking through the ads in the back of the magazines, I found a phone sex number. The ad promised 1 hour free. At the time, I didn't have my own cell phone, so I had to wait until the middle of the night to steal my mom's phone. It was a 1-800 number, and as promised, I received 1 hour free and didn't need to input any credit card information. Score. Sometime later, I spent the night at my grandma's house. While packing, I knew I would get horny in the middle of the night, so I looked through one of the magazines and found a phone sex ad promising free time. time. While at grandma's, I found some time to be alone on her computer and Googled gay porn. This was before I knew about deleting browser history. And that night, I used my grandma's house phone for a little phone sex journey. Fast forward to the literal most embarrassing day of my life. I was getting ready to spend the night at my grandma's house. My mom wanted to stop at Blockbusters on the way to return the DVDs we had gotten a few nights before. I searched my extremely messy room for the movie I'd rented, but could not find it. I went upstairs and told my mom that I was having trouble finding it. Mistake, mistake, mistake. She told me she'd come downstairs and help me search my room. Immediately, I thought about my massive porn stash I had in my room, but it was too late. My mother was already headed downstairs. While she was searching for the movie, I made it a point to open the plastic tub in front of her to make sure she didn't look in. "Nope, the movie's not in here," I said, and closed the lid. It didn't work. After a few minutes, she started to open the tub. "It's not in there," I said. I grabbed the lid and slammed it shut. That was all it took for my mom to go absolutely apeshit. "Let me look in there," she screamed. I panicked. I opened the lid, grabbed the stack of porn, and ran out of my room. I love running with some of it, not helping the situation. To take it and run is only going to pique a mom's interest. I ran upstairs to the bathroom, locking the door behind me.
Seriously, jerked.
Started to tear up the magazines them down the toilet. It wasn't working. I was panicked, and all the time my mom was banging her fist on the door, demanding me to show her what I had. You have to remember,
you took all of them. Okay.
I was in the plot.
Like 15.
I left 15, just trying to destroy the evidence.
It's a lot of magazines.
They're not going to flush. You should have burned them.
Well, that's a hazard.
You have to remember, I was in the closet, so by showing her the porn also meant that I had to come out to her. I decided it would be best to be true to myself. I unlocked the door, threw it open, and screamed at the top of my lungs, "I'm bisexual!" My mom's face fell, and she no longer seemed to care about what I had. Her response was, "You're grounded."
That is so sad that that's the way it is.
To add insult to injury, the DVD was sitting on the kitchen table the entire time. I ended up spending the night at my grandma's that day, and for the first time she asked me, the first thing she asked me was, "Have you been looking at pornography on my computer?" I denied, but she knew I was lying because she responded with, "You also owe me $20 for your phone call." Mortifying.
Grandma's chill.
Grandma is chill. I apologize if my email was too long, but I had to share my experience of being a horny teenager with you. I still look at porn, but the need to call a phone sex line died that day. P.S. Grandma never got the money. I love that.
I wonder if mom is super accepting now, and grandma, I want to know.
Yeah, we need a follow-up.
I love, these are like relatable stories.
These are really
relatable content.
I love "You're grounded."
That's not relatable to me, but that's actually, in the grand scheme of gay stories I've heard from other gays, not that bad.
Oh my god, I was heard, like, always getting grounded.
I only got grounded once.
I was in a constant state of grounding. One time I got grounded for shaving my legs.
I was grounded for two times. One when I was young, for talking back at a babysitter.
Oh yeah, you told us about that.
And then another time for throwing a party.
For the ice cream.
Yeah, the ice cream. Did I tell that on the pod?
Yeah.
But wait, I want to talk about, I don't even think I had a playgirl. That would have been like extra chic. No, actually I liked what I had, cause there was like penetration involved. I had like a straight porn, and then it would zoom, my eyes would focus in on the D. Oh, and then I'd be like, "It's straight, whatever.
It's straight, so I can't be
Yeah,
gay.
I'm bi or something."
Oh, I want to know also, are you bisexual still? Or was this just like a stop on the way to gay?
Mine was a stop that I practiced for a while.
I went to an open mic night recently, and then there was a vape loller there who was screaming jokes about like the bisexuals are just homos. And I was like, wow.
So that's exhausting and stupid.
Lara, my queen. I've just discovered a documentary on Amazon Prime that you have to check out if you haven't already, called I'm a Porn Star, Gay for Pay.
Oh,
as the title implies, it examines straight men and gay porn from perspectives of straight and gay performers, as well as street interviews.
Oh my God.
What's most interesting about the doc is that almost all of the straight guys love the sex. Even if they still identify as straight, only date girls IRL, and say they aren't generally attracted to men, all but one guy, who is super defensive, so who knows if he was honest, said they liked the sex and would keep having sex with men after their porn careers end. That's Some of them did have experiences and or thoughts about men before porn, but they all say that once they started to experiment with men, it really opened their minds, not just sexually, but socially, emotionally, etc. I know you've been interested in bisexual butterfly men, so I really think this doc would appeal to you. And it's only 50 minutes, so not a big time commitment.
I'm sad now. I want it longer.
Also, an added bonus are some of the guys' names that are seen in cryons during their interview. Example, Alex Mecum and Aspen from drillmyhole.com. Lol. Love and light. Love.
Wait, that's amazing. I want to watch that for sure.
Okay. Feel like...
Do they bottom and love it too? I wonder. Probably.
They're gay for pay.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's interesting. I want to hear their perspective.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
That they're just like, you know what? I love it. I'm straight, but I love gay sex.
Guess what? You have a prostate, and if that gets... titillated,
it starts makes me think though about like what is gay.
Sexuality is a construct.
I know. Fine. It's just fine. I'm sorry, mom. Grounded.
You're grounded. No, I like I was thinking about like if I was to run for president, what platform would I run on? And it would just be like, if I'm president, I'll make a government sponsored program that makes guys have to get fucked in the ass by girls. They have to get pegged.
Like everyone at the age of 18 has to be pegged.
Every man at the age of 18 has to be
required voting,
pegged.
I hope.
What?
And required voting.
Yeah. You must vote. That's how you could get a lot of voter turnout.
Yeah.
If
you vote, you don't have to be pegged.
Well, no, just vote. Yeah. And then we'll majority rule on the pegging.
Yeah.
But like, I'll bet you a lot of people would come out to vote their opinion on that.
That's true.
But I still think that every man...
a lot of people would. I don't buy it once. I don't buy a single straight person that says, no, I don't like that idea. I think they've all thought about it. Being fucked. I just do.
I think it's really good for a man to feel that.
And if maybe they only thought about it like once for a second, but I know it's like, I don't believe someone's like, I've never once, never, never.
Guys that are super weird about like having something in their butt.
Clearly are like shoving shampoo bottles up it all the time.
Well, not even that, but it's just like, why are you going to be so close-minded to something you've never even tried? Like, I guarantee you,
global
warming. I guarantee you we could do this in a way that you'd like.
Yeah. It's like, nope, don't believe it.
But also, it's like, do we need to respect their boundaries? Because as I'm saying that, it sounds really rapey.
You just advocated rape.
No.
Yeah, you were like, everyone needs to be penetrated at age 18.
That was a creepy thing for me to say.
Yeah, think about that, please. If you think it was creepy, please DM me. DM me if you thought it was creepy
and
that
Lara
did that.
Talk shit about me to Ed.
Fully talk shit to me all about it. I promise I won't scream red.
Please roast me.
Roast Lara so hard to me. And roast me because I asked everyone to DM if you don't like the show. So I'm expecting so many fucking roast beef sandwiches sliding into my DMs. Please. Do we have time for one more mail?
One more.
One more. Okay.
Hi, Lara and guest. When it comes to hookups, I'm usually a total babe exclamation point. I'm easy and breezy about most things. I'm down for whatever and very sexually performative in a way that guys seem to enjoy. Most importantly, I hardly ever catch feelings, which flaky Tinder douches find especially attractive. Lol. I basically have a lot of chill hookups and don't stress about guys never texting me back. When I do catch feelings, however, something in my brain chemistry just snaps and I become a total monster. My brain starts going a mile a minute. I question every single behavior of mine and my partner's, and I act out on jealous and absolutely psycho ways. Basically, I become a full tilt babe. Last year, I caught feelings for someone and literally signed up for Talkspace, like chat room therapy, just because I needed to talk garbage gibberish about him all day, every day. My friends were sick of it. I flooded this poor woman's messages for like 3 days, then canceled the account. Since this pod is my safe space, I was wondering if you all relate to this dynamic. Chill and rational until catching feelings, an absolute nightmare when in love. Do either of you have stories about this or any tips to help with overthinking and driving yourself crazy at the first hint of a crush? I do it every time and subsequently have alienated basically everyone I've ever had feelings for just by acting bonkers. Love you. Love the pod.
I actually do have experience with this.
Oh my God. Same.
Major experience. When I first came out of the closet, I think it was such a relief to finally be like, oh my God, I'm going to date guys, that then I think this happens with a lot of people, but like immediately I was like, oh, now that I'm out, it's going to be easy. And of course it's not, dating sucks. But I just was like, every single time I'd meet someone, I liked them, even like a sliver, I'd be like, oh my God, I want to get married with them. Like just like insaneness.
Yeah.
And like if they didn't email back within a day, I'd freak out. Like I'd overthink everything. And I had to, my solution was therapy.
Yeah.
And to just learn how to like realize it. 99% of the time what you're thinking is not what's happening.
Yeah.
And that they're generally just busy or if whatever. It's hard though. It's like takes a lot of like training yourself.
It basically comes down to it's like self-control. It's
cognitive behavioral therapy.
I will do the same thing. Like if I really start to like someone or even get like a crush on someone, it begins like slowly, but then it starts to escalate to like, oh my God, like we are gonna get married, or like what would it be like to have kids with them, and like, oh my God, like my last, like will I take their last name, and like what, or just like will we merge it, or like will we like hyphenate, and then it's like how are our lives gonna work out, like what's our house gonna look like what, and it like goes into building a future that like doesn't exist. And truly the only, like I've caught myself doing that like a couple times, and in the early stages of doing that, I just like, I'll just stop it before it can really even go anywhere. Like I'll notice that I'm doing it and then I will make an effort to not do it. And like that even goes as far as like, because after I do like the like future thought, then I love to just like daydream for like hours, and then
that's,
it would go,
that's
into
just
like,
such a waste of energy,
and
I
it's
think.
A total waste, and it's like it's just spinning wheels.
I think
on
it's
like
fun
nothing.
To have those, like obviously enjoy those feelings and have fun with it, but like when you start to future think too much, at least for me, it just becomes exhausting. It's exhausting for you, and as you said, it's exhausting for your friends, because it's literally being like, do you think he's gonna write back? Do you think he's gonna text? When should I text? And this is, everyone is guilty of the text games and all that shit. Like you're not alone, and that whoever you're dating is probably doing it too. Mm-hmm. Because basically the way that people think about first dates is kind of psychotic a little bit. Like I've rarely met someone that it doesn't ask a question about if they're going on a date, that's literally like, should I text back now? Should I wait till tomorrow? I mean, literally everyone says that.
I feel like the best way to just handle texting is just like text back whenever you see their text. Like try not to play those
But then
games.
There's a lot of thing where it's like, I should play it cool. The whole, that's it's so exhausting. Just like,
yeah, it's really hard.
I say 3 texts a day max. Is that a lot? It's a lot.
I don't know. I just
depends
like,
on the person.
I don't want to go down like a text, like gaming text. I'm trying to just that, be yeah. more like I text when I feel like it,
yeah,
and like not read way. Into
just don't future think, and the it's hard to do, but
I think that I like the talk space thing where you just like word vomit onto like a therapist. Yeah.
And also if you just play out the day, like if you think about, like let's say you do, like if you play out the thought in your head that's stressing you out, and you think about your the actions you can take, and you actually think them through, like what's going to happen in the next 3 hours if I call this person right now, or if I do this, and you really think about it, you're like, oh, actually this is not pressing and not necessary, and I should just chill out. Yeah. And that takes like less than 5 minutes, and then we'll alleviate you of your stress, because you'll come away with it with the thought of, oh, this is dumb, and then you can leave it. As opposed to being like, what if, and like just thinking, you just have to think it through and be like, what actually is going to come of this?
Yeah. Also, I wonder if there's like a genre of person that you find yourself in this situation with over and over. Like, is
like an
there,
aloof bro.
Yeah, like just like
it's just like whatever.
Because the last time I really got like so obsessed with someone, it was like a total genre
Jesus Christ's we were talking
about. Yeah, when I got obsessed with the Lord and gave myself to Jesus and decided creationism or die, it was like, yeah, it was like, it was, it, that was a red flag because I was like, why am I, the fuck am I like flipping out over this person?
Yeah.
And look into like what it is about them specifically that's like triggering all these feelings.
Did you figure it out?
Yeah. It was my daddy issues.
I know, it all comes back to the parents.
It all comes back.
Just recently I had a breakthrough about a parent and how it was affecting something in my life. And I was like, really? I was like, for fuck's sake, are you serious? I was like, Mom, damn it. Because you think you're like, oh, I'm done.
You're never done. Up there.
You're never done. Even when you think you're done, you're not done. So if you're kind of feeling bummed about something, don't worry. You'll feel more bummed later.
Yeah. You'll find a new layer of like pain to uncover.
Just want to like leave it on like that kind of note. Like things are sometimes good and sometimes they're bad, but often they'll get worse.
There's always potential for things to get much, much worse. Yeah. But there's also potential for things to get better.
The saying when things like it can't get worse is just wrong. It shouldn't exist because it can always get worse.
It can always get worse, but it can also get better.
True. I love that. That's really... Wait, I did you just come up with that?
Yeah.
I love
any sort of like saying, like you really hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
You're like... The thing about life is like sometimes it's bad and then sometimes it's good.
Yeah. It's true. Who's denying it? Not me.
Let's do one more. One more. It's a law one. It's just the short story.
It smells stinky. Is that a fart? That is a sour fart. Oh my God. I still smell it. This couldn't be a fart. Do you smell the smell? Oh, it's kimchi. I literally was like, there's no way your fart could smell like that. It's sour. Yes, it's stinky. But do you smell the kimchi? We learned how to ferment. It's so time consuming and smelly to ferment and for one meal. Months later to have this hour of stink. You did have a fart, but I think the kimchi covered your ass.
I'm sweating.
You are. Your beads of sweat and tears of laughter are falling down. Oh my God. That smell is disgusting.
Did you make this?
We remember how we took a fermenting glass wherever we come.
It's the whitest thing you've ever seen.
You know
to
what?
Me.
It's called using things. It's called foraging and using.
You foraged
we
all the
forage.
Things. Where? Did you go out?
Literally on like the side of a highway. You can eat everything.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You foraged all the things that you fermented? And
no, we fermented cabbage differently, but we foraged a salad and foraged like mustard greens from the nature and put it in.
Just from out and about?
Yeah, just from literally just like walking.
The road?
The road.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why this class is great. It's free food. It's called using food instead of wasting it.
I love that.
But I will say the process of fermenting... is a long and arduous process of stinking up your house.
Wow. And all this time.
For just like a few bites in 3 months.
If I had just waited it out and not decided to be honest and truthful, I would never be this embarrassed about farting on the podcast.
I just can't believe you were owning a sour, rotten kimchi smell. Stop. And you were like, that's mine. And I was like,
well, I didn't know.
I sat here and I was like, there's no way. I've never smelled a sour fart this sour.
It was a silent moment for me. That was
what
like,
was yours? Was your sort of like dog shit-ish over there? What were the notes?
Stop.
What were the notes?
Stop.
Nutty?
No, it was kind of sow.
Simon's laughing.
It was kind of like a sour little poof. And then I was like, oh my God. And then I smelled the actual
then you
kimchi.
Saw me going,
and I was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, you got to own it. Just own it.
Did you think that intense kimchi was you?
I didn't know. Oh my God, I thought maybe.
You just got trolled by the kimchi, your own fart.
Well, you know, guess what? That's an example of things getting worse.
Oh my God, yeah.
Now they're going to get better because I'm going to read reader mail.
Okay.
Hi, Lara. Ooh, that kimchi is real stinky. A few months ago, I was driving out of the grocery store parking lot and texting with my friend about Vanderpump Rules.
While driving.
Three stoplights later, I see red and blue flashing lights out of the corner of my eye. I look up and notice it's for me. Fuck. It's a motorcycle cop, so I know I'm going to have an extra terrible time. I pull over, still texting, and the officer asks if I know why I'm being pulled over.
She's doubling down.
Yeah. I hold up my phone and say, for this, I finish my text while he's talking to me
so
and
defiant.
Hand him my license and tell him I don't have my registration, but I can pull it up on my phone via the app. I hand him my phone and he says, Corrine says, Stacey in and is and always will reign supreme and I will die on this hill. I looked at him and I said, I think you mean Stassi, but she's right. That's a hill worth dying on. He handed my phone back and asked me if I was taking this seriously. I explained to him that the second I saw his lights, I knew I shouldn't have been texting and driving, but since I was already going to have to fork over a chunk of my hard-earned paycheck on top of the taxes that already pay his salary, why not finish my conversation about something I do take seriously, the greatest show on television? I ended by asking him if he could please give me my ticket as I had places to be. He told me, you have no respect for authority, do you? I rolled my window up 95% of the way and pointed to the crack I left open and told him to please slide the ticket in with my license as I no longer felt safe.
This is insane.
I locked my doors, went back to texting, and waited for my ticket. He slid my ticket and license through the crack, and I refused to look up at him. I, still looking at my phone, asked if we were done here, to which he replied, find a more important hill to die on. I wanted to react, but instead I rolled my window and waved again, not taking my eyes off the phone. Most cops are trolls. I love a 95% roll up. Just only talk through the teeny crack.
This is really funny, but I don't love that you just love driving and texting.
Yeah, that's like pretty dangerous.
And people die a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
sorry to yuck your yum.
You really yucked everyone's yum.
But your yum is dangerous.
This is a Debbie Downer check-in moment of...
Like, I love your 95% no care of cop, but you should have gotten that ticket.
Yeah. Well, she knows.
Yeah. But it is funny.
It is really funny. I lolled out loud when I read that. The 95% of the way.
I don't feel safe.
I don't feel safe.
I'm going to try that with a cop.
Yeah.
I should even be like, I'd be like, oh my God, ow. Should I just do ows?
Ow. Ow. Ow!
Oh my God, ow. Oh, what are, officer.
Ow.
Officer, please.
Oh my God.
This is the ultimate white privilege scenario we're painting up right now.
You know what I realized too is that I really handled the cop situation all wrong.
Which one?
When I got pulled over.
Oh, the recent one. You've had a lot.
Which one?
Teenage years?
That was way long ago. I'm talking about the most recent cop troll. And that I should have just gone into full-blown, just like, fake cry mode. Because if you give them the power and you just go into total victim, like, please don't do this to me. Please. God. And you just like cry, then they'll let you go.
If someone had footage of you doing that, it would go viral and you'd be known as like the horrible white woman that cried to get out of a ticket.
Crying to get out of a ticket. I'm not saying that it's not white privilege to pull any of the moves, and it was white privilege of me to even scream at a cop like that. And
I forgot you
off.
Screamed.
Yeah, I yelled and said disrespectful things, but it's also just a known move to like cry.
I've never done it.
That's been my go-to always, except one time when I was a teen and
I just start sweating profusely in my pits and get really like and I'm like yes okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I have PTSD for the longest time whenever I would see cop lights or
my inclination is to not fuck with cops.
Yeah, because I would be like, oh my God, do I have drugs on me? And then I was like, no.
For me, it just looks like I don't really want to like increase the headache when I'm with a cop.
I triple down. But next time, if there's ever a next time, I'm going to go into full Oscar-worthy cry zone.
Will you tape it for me? Don't let it leak on the internet. I want to see it. Just put your phone on the dash or something and like tilt it towards you and tape yourself crying hysterically. It's like that little girl that taped herself crying and sent it to like presumably a mom to get something to be like, ah!
And then just like totally sobered up afterwards.
She was literally not crying.
Yeah, all you'd have to do is be like, serious right now. Please don't do this. Please. I didn't mean to. I really didn't. I'm so sorry.
What's your excuse? Were you trying to get home to?
No, my excuse was that I was at the valet stand. Oh. My excuse was that I had I was pulled over as you do that when you pull up to that. It was crazy. Anyways.
Looks like this pod's coming to an end.
This pod has come to an end.
Coming to an end.
The pod about nothing. Yeah. The pod where we came to the conclusion that life is sometimes good and also it's sometimes bad.
Yeah. If you beg to differ, please DM me.
What's your argument? Life is always bad or yeah. Life is always good.
I don't even know. Yeah. You know what?
If you agree or disagree, email.
DM.
DM Ed or DM me. Email the podcast, babepodcast@gmail.com. If you want bonus episodes, including one that we released yesterday that was pretty lol, you can hit up patreon.com/babepodcast. If you're a new listener, like and subscribe. Give a 5-star rating.
Yeah.
Don't give a 1-star.
No.
There's only one 1-star. I can't remember who it was, but I'll never forget.
Burned into your memory.
Also, that was a statement that makes no sense.
I'm gonna log into Evan D.
And then just leave us with like a tidbit of wisdom.
Yeah.
No, you. I'm not me to do that. Yeah.
I love candles. Scented premium. No, a tidbit of wisdom is like, you know, sometimes when you're tired, you're hungry.
Totally.
And like things can be like good or bad. And like,
and that's just like how life
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's just like how it is. And like stand-up comedy is like sometimes really great and sometimes really bad. Just like deal with it.
I love that.
And just, you know, Anna Kendrick's a noller.
Also true.
That's a fact. There's no debate there.
Yeah.
In my book.
That's just like hardcore.
That is literally the same as climate change is real.
That's just like
Anna Kendrick is a vape law.
That's a white people facts moment. That's like things to know about white people.
If I'm a denier of anything,
they account for the most
yeah.
vape laws in the world, and also the probably I would say the most nulls in the world.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. So if you know Anna, let her know about this pod.
Don't.
I love don't. Whoever's going to do it, it's going to do
it. I don't want to start a war.
I would love to see a war between you and Anna Kendrick. She would not even do it. She wouldn't even pay attention.
I hope
she's so rich. If she were broke, she would pay attention. Because it's ruining her career. All right, end this.
Okay, we gotta go.
We gotta go.
It's time to stop.
So it's crazy. We got things to do.
Sometimes you can keep going and sometimes you need to stop.
Yeah.
And this is one of those times. Bye. Babe?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.